a pick for Matt Moore. You might be able to get a fourth for Colin Kaepernick.
Maybe.
It's the only guy out there. Name for me other backup quarterbacks not drafted in the last 2 years. You know, guys sitting and waiting for their jobs. Guys who have ascended because of an injury. Gardner Minshew or something like that. He doesn't count.
Tyler Bray.
Name for me the guys that might not pick up a draft pick for you. It's Colin Kaepernick is the guy. He's the asset that you could probably add and make your team better in multiple ways, not just playing.
But what you're saying in
he's
all
just
of
worth
this,
a flyer.
Connor,
it's
exactly
just,
is
he's
that
just
there,
worth a flyer.
There's value there. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX, HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670, The Score, a radio.com sports station. I had a really interesting experience with the tech screen on this yesterday. And I was saying how I would love to see the Venn diagram of the Bears fan who 3 years ago was like, no, this guy should kneel. This guy should never play in the league again. My cousin is a first responder,
right,
or whatever it is that you're going to use to justify your opinion on it. And where they're at now on the Bears should look at Colin Kaepernick. And to their credit, there were a bunch of people who texted like, yo, I'm that dude.
Good on him.
I'm that guy that was like, this is ridiculous. But the Bears should go and look at him because he's probably better than what they have in their quarterback room. And it doesn't hurt them to go look.
If that is your opinion on the matter, so be it. Be honest. That's all you can ask.
You found out that some of this stuff doesn't really matter. And what does matter to you is winning. Winning feels great.
The Browns are going to have, and it's a different kind of conversation, but the Browns are going to have in their locker room for the next two seasons a guy who's going to be suspended for a long, long time. There's going to be a distraction around that. There's going to be media questions like every single week about it. That's a distraction.
This is a really good text. The idea, like with the Patriots, sign Cap, have him run your scout team because you're going to run into Mahomes,
Lamar
and Jackson, and Watson.
Yeah, it's a great idea. It's an absolutely great idea.
By the way, the attention and the we all use the word circus to describe what may be coming any team's way if Kaepernick was to go. You know how long circuses last these days in this country? They last about 2 days or so.
Yeah, you're getting lesser and lesser.
Right, you're going to get 2 days worth of all the questions, all the toxic text messages, the good, the bad, the crazy, the packs of people out at Hallis Hall that aren't there, and then
Pax
is
going to be there.
Yeah, Pax will be there. Yes, he's into this.
Scouting him.
Yeah. Yes. Pax will be the sign. So it's not going to last long. Like you can get through. It's not like every single week people are going to keep this thing going. It just doesn't like think about Addison Russell. Remember how that peaked and that whole situation, like there was hordes of people out of Wrigley Field and then you never heard anything about it
about
after
a week of conversation.
About a week's worth of conversation. There you go. At the most.
But so there is a large contingent of Cub fans that were completely distraught that he was still on the roster for baseball reasons and beyond baseball reasons.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't even like categorizing Kaepernick with him because Kaepernick didn't do anything illegal.
Right.
He didn't do anything violent. He just did something that some people either didn't understand or misconstrued and ends up being blackballed. Meanwhile, it is a league where guys who abuse women, guys who have been accused of sexual assault are playing, are playing, and people in some cases are pining for those people to come back to teams because they have playoff chances. That's where, to me, the whole thing just is so ridiculous. And maybe I am loath to think the NFL is doing something in an altruistic way.
Oh, they're not.
They're not.
No.
This is great for them. It allows them to go, see, we gave you a chance to do something here. It's not a mea culpa by them, but it's them being able to reach the olive branch and say, we're definitely trying. But in that, it shows you how much their internal polling has softened in this regard. And I use the anecdotal evidence of me dealing with texters yesterday as proof. Like the guy that I used to be, my cousin's an Army Ranger. That guy is now like, my cousin's an Army Ranger, but the Bears have a chance to go to the playoffs.
However,
and I'm trying to get him there either this year or next year. So if the man can play, the man can play.
Because winning feels good.
Because winning feels good.
Bears.
Yeah, I mean, look, you look at the options that are around. You know, look at the other options that are around for you, and none of them are particularly inspiring.
And it doesn't, from a relative cost analysis in the NFL, it costs you nothing.
No.
It doesn't cost you draft. That's why, like, it just, for me with the Bears, it costs you nothing to get yourself some good PR.
Mm-hmm.
It costs you a flight to Atlanta and a stay at the Homewood Inn. That's what it costs you. All you have to do is send, and we, yesterday, we had a lot of fun with, like, who should they send?
Yeah.
Because if you want to say everyone in the building is out to LA or our scouts are already going to their college football, there are plenty of people who could go and represent the Bears at this. And guys like Jim Miller, for example, you could send Jim Miller. You could send Matt Forte.
Sure.
You could send Olin Krutz to go watch.
Kind of a
guys.
David Ross situation. You could I dig it.
You could send Dave Wannstedt. You think Wani wouldn't go down there for the Bears? You could do all of this stuff.
He's got the college football show.
He does.
But he'd make it. See, Wani's the kind of guy who'd make it all happen for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. It cost you nothing. And it would have been a tremendous PR boon. Meanwhile, you're going to get skewered for the next 2 hours on this show.
Yep.
And probably the following shows.
It's an opportunity to buy a draft pick. And that's something that, at the very least, it's that. At the very least, it's that, and that's something that a lot of teams have gone to the last couple of years.
Guess we don't have to ask what you have coming up on your show today, Lawrence.
Yeah, I got that. I'm going to... My opinion on what happened in Thursday Night Football is going to be unpopular.
Let's see. It was... He should have gone to the sideline for the Gatorade cooler? When like you, that kind
no,
of unpopular?
No, I think it's when you get hit in the ding-dong, it's an involuntary reaction.
The family jewel.
He got the stuff stomped at. I mean, yeah. That's just, it's clear. There was a stomping attempt.
We have a physical reaction, an involuntary reaction when we get hit there, and sometimes it involves trying to murder a man.
Yeah. Even though that was happening previously in the game when the guy left with blood in his ear from the concussion.
And he's like,
there
what about
three
me?
Guys that were knocked out of the game last night. One of them wasn't Mason Rudolph, but we don't care.
Steelers-Browns is still a thing. Like,
yeah,
that as a rivalry?
They were playing chippy and dirty all game. And then it's like, wait, no. I can't believe that these guys that you pay to inflict violence upon each other in a situation where then they get challenged yet again that they go to another violent place. This is unbelievable, and no one should ever watch such things except for the entire country that watched last night a guy be carted off the field with blood in his ears, and it wasn't Mason Rudolph.
I can't even stand up over here. I have blood coming out of my head.
And let's also remember, this is not the worst thing that's happened to Mason Rudolph in the last 4 weeks. He was the guy that 4 weeks ago they had to take his face mask off and walk him off the field because in actual gameplay he got knocked the bleep out.
And they couldn't find the cart for him.
And they had to walk a man who was unconscious, like Weekend at Bernie's, off the field. I'm sorry if I don't have a lot of sympathy for the violent overflow that happened in the violent game that we love.
Well, I got to get on a plane to cover a football game in Los Angeles. So,
all right. Sorry to keep you guys.
No, that's all right. Like I said, I'm glad to be here.
So much handsome between Mark Grody and Connor McKnight. They are part of the Bernstein and McKnight Show, which you can hear here on The Score from 9 a.m. until noon every day. On top of those things, we also have a big announcement. Big show announcement today. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. During all November home games, the Chicago Wolves are collecting canned food and other non-perishable items for Chicago's Common Food Pantry and other local pantries. For tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. And this hour is being brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website 56David.com. That's 56David.com. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Tony, let's go.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! If you're psyched as I am, get up! Yeah!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Now, I wonder how many people have been moved from their position. Now, I'm okay with people moving from their position. You get more information on things and it helps you come to a better conclusion on stuff. I can't support that because he wore pink socks. My cousin happens to be a police officer in Moni or wherever. I do wonder about that person that 3 years ago was just like, no, never, never on my team. Never shall he grace Soldier Field. And after about six games this year, they were like, So Kaepernick's available. Maybe the Bears should look there for quarterback help.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Glad that you are hanging out here with me. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a lot of stuff to get to today, including Tony's trip to Milwaukee to go see the Bulls compete and be competitive and still give up 120 points and lose. I was entertained. I was entertained for 2 hours watching the Bulls last night. And then I was like, oh, they're going to lose. And then we're going to look at the final score and be like, oh, they gave up 120 points. And we're going to have the Bart Simpson meme. Oh, you try. Got the cake. Just throw it right in the garbage. We start the show as we start all things with the rundown.
Hey, you know what? Do you have a rundown that I could take a look at just so I know what the rundown you're looking for?
Just keep it simple.
Keeping it simple. That's what I'm doing.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Friday, November 15th. We start with your Bulls. The Bulls yesterday, they got a lot of stuff accomplished offensively.
Rebound Carter, right corner, Coby White for three. Puts it down, Coby White, second triple of the opening quarter.
And how about Wendell Carter getting an offensive rebound and then finding Coby White wide open and alone in the corner.
Bulls by 8, 30-22 first quarter. Coby White to Wendell Carter Jr., back to Coby White. Flowing over the midcourt line, lets it fly, Coby up and good. He's made 10 of his last 11 three balls. He has three tonight here in Milwaukee. The Bulls lead by 4, 37-33. Lachanski line to the lane with a spin. Gives it up, right elbow. White step back, right side three. Yes! Coby White with his fifth triple. He is on fire.
Here's the thing, though. At the end, you kind of knew how it was going to go, that Giannis was going to come back into the game. What, he finished with 38 and 11 last night? You kind of knew that they were going to be able to hold off the Bulls, and they did just that.
Giannis all the way to the rim. Ooh. So easy. But again, it's hard to defend that big, long stride of Giannis Antetokounmpo. 30 points, six straight 30-point games for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Standing off to the right, they go back to Giannis. They got Satoransky playing him. It's a tough matchup for Sato. Couple of jab steps, and Giannis nails a 19-footer in front. Coby White steps back, right side three. Pulled down by Giannis, and that's going to do it as he throws the ball ahead to Eric Bledsoe. Bledsoe throws it down, a two-handed dunk. You got to be kidding me. Why would you do that? Why would you dunk the ball winning by 9 points at the buzzer?
Because you can.
And because it wasn't at Bulls plus 10. There you go.
That shows you what, how they respect your team.
And there's nothing that the Bulls can do about it.
Nope, because they got a Giannis.
Except for Lauri Markkanen could shoot more in the second half.
Yeah, 2.2 shot attempts. I'm sorry.
That's not good, Jim Boylan.
I thought he was aggressive. I thought he tried to play the right way. He's using a lot of energy on defense. He had 5 fouls for most of the second half. And he's working at it and trying to help us win. So, there's more to game than making shots. And I thought he tried to do the other thing. I'm not going to make a big deal about the shots. We had open looks all over the place as a team. Maybe it's because they were guarding him and other people were open. You know, that happens in the game. So we don't talk about this guy has to get this many shots and this guy has to do that. We play basketball. And I thought he tried to play basketball.
Okay. The marketing watch continues because it's not been very good this season. For the Bears, here's what Matt Nagy says about their quarterback situation.
First of all, we all understand, I know I do, and I know he does, we all understand the significance and the importance of that position. If you're not or you don't, then you're not really being real with the situation. So we get it, but you know, when you really look at the core of everything, the thing that we all understand that we do is that we're trying to do everything we can to for the best of the Chicago Bears and whatever that means. And so every day we attack it with just trying to, you know, you want to stay positive. And are there times where there's tough coaching or tough teaching? For sure. And are there times of you know, frustration for everybody because of what we all want right now? Absolutely. But we all understand that we're all in this for one reason, and that's to be the best for our team, for the Bears, and to win.
All right, let's flip over to the defensive side because we haven't talked a lot about this. Although last week on this show, we had a long discussion about Khalil Mack and him not putting up the sack totals that you're used to seeing. Nick Williams actually leads the team in sacks. Chuck Pagano says that's his fault.
Yeah, I think that falls on myself, and I've got to do a better job of putting those guys, you know, in position, you know, take advantage of those matchups. So that's on me, and I got to do a better job there. I think we all understand. You know, Coach Ted talked about it, I think, a couple days ago. You know, it was everybody and anybody, you know, who blocked him this last game. You know, I think he said he might have mentioned it was only the quarterback that did, and I said probably him and Coach Patricia, you know, and he probably would have, but he had a boot on, you know, so he couldn't get out there to block him. So, you know, he's garnering a lot of attention, and you talk about blueprints again. I think everybody's watching the tape and saying, okay, it's like us. We got to do everything we can to make sure 99 on their defense doesn't wreck the game, you know. So everybody's doing that. And you're exactly right. Other guys are going to have opportunities. You know, again, it falls squarely on my shoulders to put them in position to make those plays.
More on this game coming up with J.J. Stankovitz in the next segment. We're going to break down Bears versus Rams. But on Thursday night, they played the feud.
So third and 29 with 14 seconds left. Rudolph will dump it off to the left side. Trey Edmonds the catch. Sprints out of bounds. And a fight at the 9-yard line. Flags are thrown. The Browns and the Steelers, and Garrett just threw a punch, and Pittsburgh retaliating. Marquise Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying with 8 seconds left. The Steelers are running from the sideline to join in, and this one is going to end in ugly fashion.
So Mason Rudolph had gotten sacked on consecutive plays. Myles Garrett gets him. He lays on him. Garrett tries to grab his helmet and also may have put his leg down in the nether regions of Myles Garrett. Garrett then picks Rudolph up by the helmet, rips the helmet off as two of the offensive linemen for the Steelers try to get to him and stop him. Rudolph reaches for his helmet. Garrett's like, you can't have your helmet. I'm going to hit you in the head with it. And then things go absolutely haywire. They take him to the ground. He is kicked by Marquise Pouncey on the bottom of the pile. David DeCastro's out there like, what the hell's going on? Mason Rudolph is pushing at people. And then is it Ogunjobi? He comes in and knocks Rudolph to the ground. He doesn't have a helmet on. Everything's going crazy. Mike Tomlin's out there talking to Freddie Kitchens. No one knows what's going on. Myles Garrett is suspended indefinitely. There have been a couple other suspensions handed out in this and football. I'll have more to say on this later, but maybe I'm just desensitized to the violence at this point in my life after watching and covering football. Something similar happened at Bears camp this year. Remember?
I mean, in another sport, they routinely throw 100 miles an hour at guys' heads.
Exactly, Tony. In another sport, even though they're not supposed to use their sticks to check people, they routinely do it. And the team you root for had a similar situation take place in training camp. It amazes me how many people, from a national perspective, how many people that have actually played football, talked about, I've never seen anything like this. No, no, never. You never saw it? Because I've seen it multiple times in practices. I saw Martellus Bennett pick up